Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Time now for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
And good morning, everybody. It is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. What they say at Stockton is true. You find the home, and they'll do the rest at Stockton.com. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing good. You rattled that right off, but didn't. Where's your cheat sheet?
I don't have a cheat
sheet.
No. I don't have a cheat sheet.
Somebody's been accused. Who is it in the sporting world? Oh, the pitcher. So you're like the baseball major league pitcher, man.
I got it in my hat.
Yeah, I'm doing good today. I think we're going to have another very nice day today. And we need to get a name for our Friday, like. We have a texture.
Like the week's almost over Friday.
That's the one. I like
Welcome to the week's almost over Friday with Dan and Mike.
There must have been a conversation on the Diener Show about a wallet and doing things with your wallet, I guess, with your cards, credit cards, instead of doing everything digital.
Yep.
And the texter says, I will always carry a wallet, never going digital. Will he carry a purse?
He must be our age. Speaking of wallets, did you see where Barkley dropped his wallet in a restaurant parking lot?
No.
And somebody found it and brought it back to the studio. I guess, according to what I read, it had credit cards, an ID, and, quote, a wad of cash. I think Charles always has a wad of cash on him. But anyway, the guy found it, brought it back to the studio, and I can't remember, was it a Qdoba? I can't remember the restaurant, but they're going to give this guy burritos for a year. For taking the wallet back. And I'm sure that the Chuckster divvied up some of that wad and gave him a but the best thing for the guy was that on the show Charles gave him a shout out and said his name, and he said that was the best part of the whole thing, that he got a shout out on the studio show from Charles.
That's pretty cool. Well, today,
by the way, I just want to say, you know that Charles Barkley is notoriously a great tipper, so it makes sense why he would have a wad of cash.
He also is notoriously a big gambler.
Yes, he
that
is.
That makes sense.
That also makes sense.
But I think that's cool that he has that reputation of being a big tipper. That's, I mean, to take care of those service people. They're working hard.
And we had Sonny Smith, the former Auburn coach, yesterday, and he was talking about trying to coach
Charles
in college. And, you know, he said it very jokingly, and he sounded, you know, like he and Charles still have a great relationship. But he said, you know, I never coached a guy that was that good at that point in my coaching career.
He said he never coached a superstar, and he tried to coach Charles like he was just a regular player. And that didn't work out too well because Chuck wasn't a regular player.
Where has that changed, Dan? And back in the day, when I first got into college coaching, that was pretty much what you were taught, treat everybody the same.
Yeah.
Treat everybody the same.
Because you only had one or two really good players.
Yeah, okay.
And if you didn't treat everybody the same, you know, the other 10 or 12 guys on the team really took notice of it and were offended by it. I don't think the kids today, I mean, I think the kids today have a pretty good understanding where they fall.
The pecking order?
Exactly. Where they fall. And I think with today's kids, they would think it odd if you didn't treat the superstars differently.
Yeah, that's a totally different approach to things. And of course, Sonny mentioned that yesterday. He said that, you know, in this day and age, he would have to learn to coach differently.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that he thought it was pretty difficult to be
coaching. The only problem I had with Sonny yesterday was he categorized Alan Bristow as a superstar player. He might have been exaggerating just a point there.
The head coach, Sonny was the assistant. The head coach was Don DeVoe, Craig Schutte's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Brother by another mother.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
And Donnie was always really good to me when I was in coaching. He was at Tennessee, but that was his team, I believe, that Tech team. I have to find Donnie and try to get him on, and we will ask him if Bristow was a superstar. How about that?
You know, when the Colonels disbanded, Louie went to San Antonio for 3 years, and I don't know if it was all 3 years or just a portion of the time, but Alan Bristow was his roommate.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He never told me that, Bristow.
Yeah.
Of course, he didn't tell me much of anything except get out of there. You know, what are you doing? Get out. I want the job, you know. Well, as big a golf fan as you are, did you see it was a 90-minute delay yesterday at Torrey Pines? Did you see that?
You know, I didn't know it, and we ran down yesterday afternoon, to Lexington to see Sherry's dad, and we got back, and DeChambeau's on the first tee.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, what in the world's going on here? So then I went back and looked it up, and they had, I guess, was it only 90 minutes? I was thinking it was longer than that.
That's what they wrote, 90 minutes.
For they had a picture.
And they had a picture of Torrey Pines, and it was unbelievable. You know, just the fog, and it was wild. So, that was, you know, you get in there, you get loosened up, and then all of a sudden you have to sit, and then you hit some more,
yeah,
and then you sit, and then you hit some more, and you hope. But my man, Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, you called it yesterday.
He's two under.
He's right there, two off the lead.
And poor Phil. Shoots a 75.
Yeah, and then blamed it on the cell phone cameras. I'm glad these guys don't play basketball or football. What would they do if there was actually some noise around the course?
Yeah, it's great. I always have said that about tennis and golf.
Yeah, yeah.
I go, like, you can't say anything. You can't say anything because it's all hush-hush, but, you know, they've been known to throw people things at people. Okay, we know now in the NBA, but soccer was really bad about that.
Oh yeah, and then I guess the person, Phil, asked the person to turn off their cell phone camera, and they didn't at like three times, and they finally called the cops, and the cops had to come out, and I don't know if they kicked the guy out or confiscated his cell phone or what they did, but the police finally had to get involved. So
crazy world.
Yeah,
crazy
yeah,
world.
Yeah, Phil'd probably be leading if it wasn't for that cell phone camera.
Probably. Yeah, I didn't have him in my betting yesterday. I didn't have him. No. We got a texter. This is interesting text.
Okay.
How about having Pete Maravich's son on the show?
We would love that. How do we get him?
Fair question. I think here's what I'll do. I'll try to reach out to Dale Brown.
Okay. Yeah.
And I've got his number someplace. And I'll start there and work back to try to find his – or I've got a friend who played down there.
At LSU?
Yeah, with Pete. He's a year ahead. Ralph Ukula from Dayton.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to call Ralph.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to call Ralph.
Oh, I'd love to get – I wonder how old his son – I mean, would his son – obviously his son wouldn't remember him playing in college. I wonder if he's old enough to remember him playing at all.
That's a fair question.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Talking about Dale Morown, one of the greatest lines I've ever heard is, you know, Dale was a great recruiter, had some great talent at LSU. At one time, he had Shaq and Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Chris Jackson, and had another big guy, and didn't win the SEC conference that year. And supposedly an LSU booster said Dale Brown could recruit Lassie, and in 2 weeks she'd be peeing on the carpet.
Dale is a hoot. He is a hoot. I've got to find his number and reach out to him.
Okay.
to get him on.
Yeah, I'd love to have Pete's son on.
I will try Ralph and see if Ralph knows.
Yeah, off air, I could tell his son some real stories.
Absolutely.
About his dad.
Absolutely, but we'll leave those untold for right now, Mr. Issel.
So anyway, what I was getting ready to say before you went to the UPS text line was. Did you see again Koepka and DeChambeau are at it? I guess Koepka had finished his round and was being interviewed on the Golf Network, and DeChambeau was walking to the first tee and was jumping up and down behind Koepka, raising his arms. I really wonder if they really dislike each other that much, or if this is just a show they're putting on for to benefit the fans of golf.
You think this might be staged?
I think.
No, I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, because the only reason I would say yes is because Koepka said last week that their feud is good for the game of golf. I guess some of the things that he accused Bryson of are true. The slow play, I don't know that he was cheating, but the slow play certainly comes. I mean, he stands over a putt forever.
Yep. So. Well, back in the day with Nicholas and Palmer and Gary Player, people wanted to make something of that trio of stars where they didn't like each other and yada, yada.
Yeah.
And then as life goes on and past all that, they have no comment about it, basically. They just let it out there and to heck with it. But you find out later on, Palmer would go by and pick up Jack to go play in tournaments in his plane because he was a pilot. You know, they just let people run with it and yap and yap, and they didn't say anything.
And they were close enough to pick each other up in their airplanes.
So I think there might be some staging. And, you know, golf viewership overall is down, and that they're trying to attract younger players and female players.
Well, I think one of the problems that golf has or had is, you know, the game for years, the game was so tied to Tiger, and you could see it in the ratings. If Tiger wasn't in a tournament, or if Tiger wasn't in competition, wasn't competitive in a tournament, the ratings were way down. And if he had a chance to win, you know, the ratings shot through the roof. Talking about Tiger's influence on the game, there was a tournament in Denver, a professional tournament in Denver for a number of years at Castle Pines.
Ooh, what a golf course.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. What you might remember this if I tell you it was the only tour event where they used the Stapleton? Yeah, a scoring system where you got points for birdies and eagles and points taken
lost
away
points,
for bogeys. But that tournament basically went out of existence because Tiger would never play in it. It was like a week or 2 weeks before one of the majors. I can't remember which one, but Tiger, because of where it fell, they could never get Tiger to play in that tournament, and as a result, the event went out of existence.
I would like to ask you a question before we get in. I think before the bottom of the hour, when we have Mike Griffith from Dog Nation.
Dog Nation.
Yes, sir. D-A-W-G. He's going to visit with us and coming out of the break at 10:30. So Have you ever played a fantasy football league?
No. No.
I haven't either.
I never got into it, but I mean, the people that do, you know who used to be a big follower of that was Doug Moe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Doug was in tournaments or leagues, whatever you call it.
All football, not basketball or baseball.
No, all football. Yeah. He was in leagues in Denver. He was in leagues in Vegas. And, you know how Doug is. Doug used to say he had a blue sport coat for the road and a brown sport coat for home, and
never very Natalie attired.
No. And he, you know, that's how he knew where he was, by the color of the sport coat he had on. And so Doug, he marched to a different drummer, that's for sure. And so Doug starts carrying a briefcase on the road. And everybody going, what in the world is Mo doing with a briefcase? What's he got in there? His lunch? And it was all of his fantasy football stuff. But I've never done it. I don't see the point. Maybe I'm missing something. But the people who do, oh, my goodness.
Process is a fantasy football guy. Many guys here in the station are.
Yeah, no, we have a station fantasy league. I'm surprised you guys have never partaken in any fantasy football in any capacity.
Well, now, I haven't done fantasy football, guys, but I've done some college football games that people put together on college football because I really follow that closer than I do the NFL. I follow the NFL, but, you know, I really follow it.
Yeah, it's all luck, though. I mean, somebody's mom always wins the tournament pool because they pick the team they like the colors for. I mean,
sure.
It's the same thing with fantasy football. As long as your guys don't get injured, you're usually fine. I mean, you know, it's don't overthink it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Process.
You should. You should do it.
Thank you. Okay, maybe we'll try it here in the station, but
I ain't doing it.
Okay. Then you get
Wow, Dan, really, really bringing out your curmudgeon self today. It's Friday, man. Come on. Lighten up. Nah, I'm not doing it. Meow. That's you.
Almost over Friday with Mike and Dan.
Well, you can join the guy, I think it was Alabama, that had the worst record in his fantasy football league. So because you didn't read this?
No.
Because he was dead ass last, okay? He had to go to the local Waffle House for 24 hours and sit there.
But that was his punishment?
One caveat. For every waffle that he would eat, they would take an hour of his sitting time off. It's kind of like saying your grandson or your kid, corner, you know, what do they call it?
Timeout.
Timeout. You know, so this guy got sent to timeout to Waffle House. So he's had, to date, I read this morning, he's had 7 waffles. So he can't eat anymore. I like waffles, okay? But a couple do me just fine.
Yeah.
Now, you all know about the Tattoo League, right?
No.
You've never heard of the Tattoo League, really?
No.
Okay, so NFL or ESPN does a story on this every single year. The person that comes in last in their fantasy football team has to get tattooed, and the winner gets to pick what said tattoo is.
Oh, really?
That's high stakes.
That is.
That's real high stakes.
You know, my son Scott has one that they've done it for years, and it's a bunch of his high school buddies and some of his college friends. I think there's like 10 of them. And what they do is they go off on a trip, on a weekend trip, to pick their fantasy football teams. And they go to some really nice places. One year, I helped arrange for 10, there's 10 of them, to go to Del Mar. And they went to the races and for a couple of days, and they go to really exotic places. And the winner, not only does he get, you know, the majority of the prize money, but the winner gets to pick where the 10 of them go the following year for their fantasy draft. And the guy that finishes last has to make all the arrangements.
That's a good deal. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
That's just an excuse to drink beer, you know, and gamble.
Yeah. And to get away for a weekend.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, that, you know, you might want to look at the closest Waffle House.
I, you know what? When it comes to waffles,
you don't like them.
Uh-uh.
You like pancakes?
No.
Oh, really?
I can't eat anything sweet anymore. I think I had too much candy when I was growing up. I don't like soft drinks. I don't like sweet. I don't like desserts.
Cherry pie, berry pie.
I can
cookies. You don't like cookies? That's un-American, Dan Issel.
I can eat a piece of German chocolate cake on my birthday, and that's about it. But no, I can't. I can't. First thing in the morning to have syrup.
I don't have those too often, but if there's a cookie around in the morning with coffee, oh.
You can take that?
Yeah, man, I can handle that. I can handle that. So before we go to a break, and we will have, again, Mike Griffith of the Dog Nation to talk what's going on at UGA. Talk Dallas.
Yeah. But I think Mike will be joining us on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline.
Thank you. Kim thanks you, and thank you.
And I don't have cheat notes for that either.
How about Dallas? We now have hit the Kevin Locker
number seven. You were right on the money.
And Dallas fired Carlisle resigned.
Resigned, yeah.
And I think it probably goes back to the guy we were talking about.
A mess they have in Dallas. And it's all created by the owner hiring some former gambler to basically be his guy in the organization.
Somebody said there was too much tension within the franchise, that Donnie Nelson, who was the GM for years,
24,
and the gambler, we can't think of his name.
We don't want to say his name. Yeah. They don't want to give him that much credit.
Exactly. They have had, butted heads, as has Carlisle. So evidently the former gambler with Cuban, he won out. He won the battle.
Sounds like it. Yeah. It sounds like it. Donnie was there 24 years. Carlisle was there 13 years. And like we talked yesterday when we kind of anticipated that Carlisle might be on the way out, he is highly respected. He could have his pick of any of these job openings. And I saw yesterday when I was flipping the channels on SportsCenter, they rated the job openings, the seven teams that are now looking for head coaches. And they had Dallas rated number one. There's no way that can be number one. I know they got a nice team, but not that good. Plus, if you've got this guy sitting there and he has Cuban's ear, who would want that job? I mean, somebody's got to say there's a reason that Nelson's gone and Carlisle's gone, and if Doncic is upset with this guy, he's going to be a free agent in a couple of years. Without him, that isn't much of a franchise.
I think Boston's a good job because you've got a former coach who doesn't want to coach anymore. He's going to hire you. You're going to have to work with him. You have to answer to him. That might be as good a job. And they got a couple young kids. Brown and Tatum are pretty good players. And now the rumor is they're trading Kemba Walker.
Yeah. I don't know if that that's out there. I don't know if it's been finalized. But
Kemba wanted out. So it's happening.
Well, but look at – and, Mike, you made this point this morning. Look at the situation. You've got the coach who now has moved up to the front office, and he trades a player that played for him for Al Horford, who used to play for him. So what that tells me is, they think Horford's a whole lot more valuable in Boston than Kemba Walker.
Yeah, and they didn't get much for Kemba Walker. Now it's a cash deal. They're going to trade him because of his contract. I think has an expiring contract process. You can look this up, but I just thought, man, it's kind of like the Yankees traded yesterday this kid Ford, their first baseman, who had one really good year when he came up. I think he was late 20s. And then since then, he's had chances. Guys have been hurt. He hasn't done anything. So they trade him to Tampa Bay, if I've got my teams right. In return, You'll love this, Dave. The Yankees get $100,000 and a player to be named later. Now, how would you feel when you pick up a paper?
$100,000.
That's it.
Barkley had that in his pocket when he lost his wallet.
All right.
But there is also, they also got the Thunder, the report I read, they're going to get Boston's first round pick this year.
I missed it.
A little stuff pulled up. You want me to just read it off?
Sure.
All right, so here's the deal with Kemba Walker's deal. It has 2 years remaining with a player option in the second year. And as far as the trade goes, it looks like it's going to be Walker, the number 16 overall pick in 2021, and the Celtics are sending a 2025 second-round pick to the Thunder in exchange for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 23 second-rounder.
They just wanted to get rid of Walker. That's not a very good deal for the Celtics.
And get rid of that contract.
Yeah. Yeah. And if his second year is an option?
The second year and the two remaining years of Walker's deal, yeah.
He's 35,
option.
Right?
Nah, he's younger than that. Let's pull it up. He'll be 31 next year.
Okay, so he's starting the back nine of his career.
Yeah.
And he's got a player option. I guess that could mean something financially in the big piece of the salary cap by getting him in.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, when you make a trade, the salaries have to match up. You know, they have to be within 10%. Of the coming and the going. So that's why, what did you say the kid's name was? Moses Brown?
Moses Brown. I've never heard of him.
No, me neither. But that's why he's in the deal, because they had to use his salary with Horford's to be within 10% of Walker's.
Crazy world, that NBA. I mean, you have to hire a guy just to do
capologist. Yeah, no, we had one in Denver. He was he's a great kid. He was a law student, and I'll tell you how we got him. Pete Babcock, who was the general manager in Denver when I went back as the assistant general manager and did the TV. He was friends with this kid's parents. And he called me up and he said, he's going to law school at DU. Is there anything that around your organization? And so we found him a job, and he became invaluable. The kid knew that the salary cap, and he knew it upside down and backwards.
Wow.
And so when you start talking about signing free agents, making trades, that's the first guy you have to consult, because, you know, if it doesn't get close, you can't do the deal.
And one of the reasons why you don't have big blockbuster trades like you used to.
Yeah.
You used to have a lot of big blockbuster trades.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, there were fewer teams, but you don't have those big blockbusters.
No, and there certainly wasn't any salary cap or any guidelines that you had to follow as far as matching salaries.
Before we go to break process, this will be, if I read it right, the third Dallas coach since your boy Cuban has owned the team, and I think he's owned it for a little over 20 years. Kind of interesting. And who is it? It's on their third coach in 3 years. Your team, the Indiana Pacers.
Not quite the continuity that they've that the Mavs have had. But
let's take a break. We'll come back with Mike Griffith of Dog Nation talking about the Georgia Bulldogs, what's going on down there. This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Mike, like so many of my friends, you may be searching for your dream home. but be sure to get the best mortgage for that home. The folks at Stockton Mortgage are the best at helping people find a complete financing option that works for them. So don't wait. Get started with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com and MLS 8259, Equal Housing Lender.
Beautiful. Thank you. You are on a roll today.
Thank you.
You are on a roll today.
Well, it's the week is almost over Friday.
There you go. And we've been going around the SEC with various people, talking about the teams and the changes in the teams, talking about the league. And today we're going to talk a little Georgia basketball with Mike Griffith of the Dog Nation. Mike, welcome in, buddy.
Well, thanks, guys. And first, I just got to tell Dan I appreciate his career. You know, it's an honor when you get to talk to a guy that you grew up watching. And, you know, those Denver Nuggets teams really captured the imagination. The uniforms, the style of play, so dynamic. And so I appreciate your career. Guys like you that motivated me to get into the sports writing business that I've been in these last 30 years. So I just want to give you that, extend that personal thanks and tell you that what a fan I was of your career.
Well, Mike, thank you. That's awfully nice. We'll have you back often, if you will.
I don't know, Mike. Let me tell you, Mike, before we get into the Bulldogs, did you ever track how many assists Issel had when he was out there?
Well, you know, wasn't it kind of hard to get the ball from David Thompson? Wasn't that kind of part of the – you talk about a scorer, right?
Yeah. David was – Mike, I tell people all the time that if David hadn't had his problems, we'd be talking about him in the same breath as all of these, you know, Michael Jordan, Julius Erving, yep. Larry Bird, all of them.
No doubt. Another dynamic player. And, you know, for me, you know, watching the NBA on CBS, I can still hear the jingle in my head on Sunday afternoons, you know, growing up in a farmhouse in the middle of Michigan. I mean, that was my extension to the world. And people are going, what the heck are these old guys talking about? I got everything on my phone now. But that was fantastic. And so you cherish those memories as you get older.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's look at the Bulldogs, Mike. In the league, there's 7 SEC to SEC moves. And I think Georgia's been hit harder than anybody, and they've got 10 new guys. Bring us up to speed with what Coach Crean's got going down there.
Yeah, you know, NIL has affected everyone, and a lot of this is timing. Georgia had 3 graduate transfers last year, and so these guys were kind of expected to move on. You know, one of them stayed and 2 of them left. So I don't really count those guys as leaving the team. It's kind of like, yeah, they were only here for a year anyway. COVID gave them another year, but they really weren't part of the plan beyond, and then they've been able to recruit some guys that, quite frankly, are probably a step above. You know, probably the most notable defection would have been Sevier Wheeler, the point guard, led the SEC, one of the top 5 assist guys in the country, a little 5'8", 5'9", guy from Houston. He's fun. He's dynamic. He went to Kentucky. I don't know that he'll start there, but he was also considering the NBA. I'll tell you, you know, this whole you know, deal with these kids, the bodies are screwing in the wake. But everybody tells you what you want to hear, and you go where people are telling you what you want to hear. There's going to be a lot of unintended consequences to this one-time transfer. I mean, right now it looks great to everybody. But we haven't really heard the stories yet or seen the fallout of the guys that transfer and just disappear. They go somewhere thinking they're going to get a better deal. I mean, what if Sevier Wheeler doesn't start at Kentucky? He's going to leave Georgia, where he would have been the all-time leading scorer, all-time leading assist guy, would have had the opportunity to probably make all SEC based on being, you know, the leader, the third-year guy in a Georgia program, you know, almost iconic status. You going to Kentucky? You going to try to make a name for yourself at Kentucky and you might not even start? I mean, let me tell you, that is one heck of a roll of the dice. Because, you know, Cal and the Wildcats bring in more talent than anybody. And there's a trail of kids that thought they were going to be the next big thing at Kentucky. We hear about the ones that made it. There's a lot of those guys that did make it, and I thought that was a big gamble for Sevier. I wish him the best because he truly is a great kid. He's so energetic and fun to watch. But hey, man, when you shoot less than 25% from three, yeah, that's tough when you're a point guard and you can't make 35% from three, especially when you're only 5'8", 5'9". You know, because now you're a liability offensively. If you're going to drive, draw, dish, that's cool. But defenses are just going to sag and say, yeah, go ahead and shoot it. You know, you don't make 35%. We're going to let you take that shot. And he did. And you look at the percentages, and, I wonder how that'll turn out. But getting back to Georgia, I like Tom Crean a lot as a coach. I like what he does offensively. I think what he did at Indiana was remarkable. You know, he won a couple of Big Ten titles there. They haven't won one since he's been there. I think there was one maybe 2003, right? Something like that with Mike Davis. So what he did at Indiana was really good. And, you know, after being out a year and coming to Georgia, he took over a program, guys. And I'm telling you, I've been doing this 30 years. I have never seen a less competitive group of seniors than what Crean inherited. These guys were like 0-6 in games decided by. And you talk to them after the game, and I'm just proud to be a student here and graduate. Another one would say, well, you know, there's many rings in the oak tree, and this is, you know, what? Wait, you just got beat. Are you not pissed? Like, what is going on? Like, because the culture. You know, Georgia basketball has won one regular season SEC championship in history. That's like 80 years. Like, we look at Vanderbilt and laugh at them in football. Georgia basketball is twice as bad in terms of zero. Oh, what about Dominic Wilkins? Yeah, what about him? You know? So he inherited a really uncompetitive group of guys that, in truth, if he could do it again, he probably would have just erased them from the beginning and just started over, like we saw Coach Musselman do at Arkansas. And so he's paying for that. Now, he did get the number one pick in the draft, Anthony Ant-Man Edwards. They went 500. Ant-Man was fantastic. Sporadic, had to learn a lot of things. You talk to Ant, and he'll tell you that, you know, Crean grew him, you know, helped him out, helped him learn to play without the ball, helped him learn to create his own shot. Incredible talent, probably the rookie of the year. I think that'll pay dividends for Georgia over time. Kids are going to go, you know what? You go play for Crean, he'll put you in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Wade will say, yeah, I've been telling you that forever. Victor Oladipo will say, yeah, I'll raise my hand, I'll attest. So you got a coach here that's a proven developer of talent, puts a lot of points on the board. I think the new one-time transfer really plays into Crane's hands because of how quickly he can get guys scoring points. And at the end of the day in basketball, that's where all the rule changes are aimed. It's what the fans want to see. So it's just a question of can he win enough quickly enough in these next 2 years to get extended and really build something, because nobody has really ever built anything of substance with Georgia basketball.
Well, we talked about Wheeler leaving for Kentucky, but Georgia just lost. Was it K.D. Johnson? Have I got his last name right?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, guys, there's stuff going on outside the basketball court. You know, there's other obligations that guys have. And listen, K.D. is an explosive scorer. I covered Bruce Pearl for 6 years, and he was a Tennessee basketball coach. I thought he did a fantastic job. I thought he was tremendously underrated. As the Tennessee basketball coach, I'll never forget the 1-2 game against Memphis. Him and Cal, Derrick Rose versus Tennessee, and no NBA players. And Tennessee wins, right? Because Memphis can't shoot free throws and didn't know how to reverse the ball. But Pearl's a fantastic coach, and what he's done at Auburn is just unbelievable. I covered Auburn basketball when Wesley Person was there, and Tommy Joe Eagles and Cliff Ellis, and you talk about a program that doesn't care about basketball. Listen, skyboxes. Yeah, they got skyboxes in their new basketball arena, but let me tell you where they're at. They're not on top, and they don't face in. They're on the bottom floor, and they face out, and it was part of the agreement to build these tailgating skyboxes for football to get the money for basketball. So if you want to know about commitment, that's what Bruce Pearl has to recruit to. Now, they pack it out, and he brings energy, but Auburn ain't no basketball school, let me tell you. They're winning now. When Bruce leaves, they're going to stop winning because they just don't care. It's not Kentucky. It's not Louisville. It's not Michigan State. And I think Crean has a little bit of that issue at Georgia where, we like basketball. Do you really, though? Do you really like basketball? Because last time I checked, your arena holds about 10,000 and Rupp's around 23 or 24. So tell me again how much you like basketball, right? And it's pretty fascinating. But to your point, KD was an explosive guy, a freshman. KD was not eligible until January. I think KD wants to play more point guard. I don't think that he has point guard skills right now, as I understand it. Going to Auburn, I think the thought is he's going to be a combo guard who may evolve into a point guard. But again, this is a year-to-year deal now. With one-time transfers, everybody's on a year-to-year contract in college sports. That's something that's changed. Now, I think the flip side that's coming, you know, used to be, right, there's a guy, and I want to mention his name, but there's a receiver who was here 4 years. Okay, he played in four games. He caught three balls. He got a $500,000 education, a degree, and transferred out. And Georgia, in return, got four games from him and three catches. Now, teams are going to have to manage that different. You know, is there going to be those four-year deals anymore? If a guy's not starting by his second year, do you keep him on scholarship in year three? Because you're going to have to look for other holes to fill with kids transferring out. So it used to be, you know, because you always say, oh, these athletes, hey, they do so much. What about the athletes that don't do anything? What about the guys that never start? What about the guys that are only on special teams that are there 4 years and get the value of the education and the medical care and the connections and the degree, and they only play in three or four games? Is that going to keep happening? Because to me, that's the question moving forward for me is now teams have to be managed differently because roster management, as you guys pointed out, with all these Georgia transfers, you know, you lose Sabir Wheeler, your starting point guard, you lose KD Johnson, your projected started shooting guard, you know, you lose Ty Fagan, a small forward to Ole Miss, who wants to be more involved in the offense, even though he shoots less than 30% from three and less than 60% from the free throw line. 6'3", you're a shooting guard and you want to be more involved and you can't make 30% of your threes or 60% of your free throws. Good luck, right?
Yeah. Now, we've talked about some of the players that have left the Georgia program. Tell us some of the players that that Coach Crean and the program are excited about coming in this year.
Yeah, well, I look at Jabri Abdur-Rahim. You know, he was a top 50 recruit that was at Virginia. You know, obviously the son of Sharif Abdur-Rahim in Atlanta. So this is 6'7". One of the things, if you look collectively at what Crean's brought in, it's shooters. You know, you heard me throw those shooting percentages out there for, you know, KD was a decent 3-point. I think he shot 35%. But Sevier was terrible. Fagan was terrible. Relative to other players. I mean, obviously they're good compared to me, but when we're talking relative terms, if you don't make 30% from three at the D1 level and FBS, that's bad. That's bad.
Yep.
So there's been a concentration on getting better shooters and longer players, right? So these guys are all 6'4 to 6'7. These guys have all hit over 40% from three at some point in their career. You know, they've added, you know, Noah Baumann was a guy that set a record out there. I want to say at San Jose State for 3-point efficiency, went to Southern Cal, didn't work out. So he's here. You know, I mentioned, you know, this Kerry Oquendo guy from Florida Southwestern is probably one of the more anonymous names on the list. This guy is expected to be dynamic. I mean, this guy is expected to be a guy that's going to explode on the scene. He's a 6'4", 195 guy from Florida, averaged 13 points and 3 rebounds at Florida Southwestern. But, guys, listen to this. This kid at this height shot 51% from three in league play. He shot 55% from the floor. And for a 6'4" scorer to shoot that percentage is pretty remarkable. So I think he's pretty explosive. I like the Jabri Abdur-Rahim kid from Virginia. He was a top 50 recruit. Again, coming off an injury, got behind there. Don't really know if he fit that system. I don't know who wants to fit a system when you only score 50 points a game. I know they won a national title, but come on. They probably shouldn't have. So my point is this. You got a lot of guys that can score and a lot of guys that can shoot from outside now.
Well, Crean's always been, when he was at Indiana and Marquette, a solid defensive coach also. I mean, he's got guys that his best teams, they played hard, they shared the ball. So if he continues to add some shooters and keeps that same philosophy, he'll be back in the race, Mike. And I think we've talked about this. We had Sonny Smith on and just recently we talked to Sonny. This league is going to be so good as far as the top teams and the depth, I think it's going to be a lot like the Big Ten last year. And when when Georgia, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt upgrade their programs, that's when this league will just jump right out at everybody.
Well, I mean, Georgia, you know, heck, they went on the road to beat a top 10, you know, Memphis team. They beat Kentucky. I mean, the problem is there's only so many pieces of the pie. It's a cannibalistic league here. I mean, it's like somebody's got to lose. Everybody can't win, right? And the stakes are so high. And let's just call the elephant out in the room, okay? Let's just call the elephant out in the room. Crime pays. You can cheat to win. They're not going to fire you. They're not going to fire you. They're going to give you lifetime contracts. You've been investigated by the FBI, potential wrongdoing. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we're giving him a lifetime contract. He's already in the Hall of Fame. He's not coming out. So what are your options here? I mean, how bad do you want to win? Are you a program? You don't care? We don't care. Do it. Hey, Dan Mullen at Florida in football just got a contract extension. Within a year, getting a show cause for violations. The message is clear. We don't care. When I covered Tennessee football and Phil Fulmer left, he was fired less than a year removed from going to the SEC championship game. It's remarkable in hindsight. Tennessee hasn't been back since 2007. So he's in 2008 and he gets fired halfway through the year. The real story is, and we can save it for another show, the real story is they thought they were going to get Bill Callahan of Pittsburgh Steelers to come and coach the Tennessee Vols. So they fired Fulmer, but didn't work out. So they get stuck with Lane Kiffin. Well, Kiffin comes in, and this is – I'm going somewhere with this story. Kiffin comes in, and one of my stories was to track the number of secondary violations committed by every school. Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin were 1 and 2. Oh, my gosh, can you believe this? Kiffin's committing all these secondary violations. You know what the fans said? We don't care. We just want to win. We don't care. So when we talk about programs getting good, we're not just talking about investing into facilities. We're talking about – being willing to stand behind coaches that are cheating. And that's what's happening in the SEC. And I don't need to look very far, neither do you. You know, there's people tape recorded on conversations, being investigated, and they're still out there getting players. There's programs that have been investigated by the FBI, and it ain't stopping anything. Nobody cares. So, yes, I agree with you that the SEC will absolutely get better in basketball. Just look around the league. Look at the names of the guys coaching these programs. I mean, Buzz Williams, Texas, Tom Crean, a Big Ten champ, Big Ten coach of the year. These guys are, and they can't win? What aren't they doing that these other programs are doing? I don't know. Right? Risk reward. How bad do you want it? It's kind of scary, but this is the world we're in, and it's not getting any better. NCAA legislation is an oxymoron.
Yeah.
There's no enforcement. There's no teeth to it. Unless you cross state lines and the federal government gets involved, they don't have subpoena power. So when we talk about building basketball programs, it's not as simple as which coach can go out to get the best guys and draw up the best plays. It's how bad do you want it, how far are you willing to go, and will the program stand behind you even if you got caught cheating? And there's ample evidence that that's where we're at right now. And there's going to have to be some soul-searching in athletic departments and say, well, what do we do? How bad do we want it? Do we hire the guy that we know is going to cheat and win, or do we try to stand behind the guy that's going to try and do it right and it might take longer?
Good point. Good point. Let's switch gears. You mentioned football. Georgia has to be excited with this playoff expansion formula. I would think that puts the Bulldogs in the championship picture.
They're in the championship picture every year. They've surpassed Florida. Last year was just such a fluky deal. You know, they have four guys injured the game before. Their team captain gets in a motorcycle wreck that plays safety. Mullen schemes them up with a wheel route that safety would have shut down. You got an inexperienced guy that gets exploited. Florida puts 38 points up in the first half. Georgia's starting quarterback goes out when they're up 14-0 4 minutes into the game. Florida only played one game in the previous 3 weeks because of a COVID break. Georgia was at the end of a really difficult stretch. I mean, it was like a plane crash, right? It's not just one thing that crashes the plane. It's a cascade of events, and that's what happened last year. Georgia is going to play in the SEC championship game, you know, 4 out of every 5 years with Kirby Smart. That's just where they're at. And so, you know, what this does do that I like is we're not going to see any more 2017. Right? We're not going to see Alabama back in. Alabama didn't even play in the SEC championship.
That's
they got
right.
beat by double digits by Auburn and still got a bye. Still found their way in under this vague best four teams thing with this committee. Which just added a former Notre Dame guy, by the way. I mean, I'm sure he'll be unbiased. It's just so ridiculous. So because the committee, you can't trust the committee. Notre Dame got in last year after losing 34-10 to Clemson. They got in. An undefeated Cincinnati team did not get in. A Texas A&M team that's only loss was to Alabama did not get in. But Notre Dame got in right after losing 34-10 to Clemson. Why? Because television has control over that committee in the Irish draw. So I like the 12 teams because now we're assured that a team won't get left out that should have been. I also like it because it preserves the value of the regular season with the byes. The top four seeds have to be conference champions, and I like that. And I think that brings value to the championship game. I think it brings value to the regular season. I like the home and home, 5 through 12, on different teams' campuses. Wouldn't it have been fun to see Florida play at Michigan in December, right? Wouldn't it have been fun to see that 2017 Alabama team play host to an undefeated Central Florida team in Tuscaloosa in the first round of the playoffs? That's what it would have looked like. So that's why I like it. As far as Georgia's got championship talent every year, to the point that people poke fun and go, oh, yeah, off-season champs, you know, you're so good, you never win anything. They're riding a streak of four straight top 10 finishes. Kirby's had $170 million in improvement in facilities and refurbishments in the last 5 years. He's only 45 years old, okay? You go back and look at Nick, and I think Nick was 50 before he won a bowl game, right? So Georgia's pretty well positioned for the future. And they're pretty talented. This year's schedule, frankly, is pretty weak. After you play Clemson in the opener, it's kind of downhill, and it works to their favor to get them to the SEC championship game. But keep guys healthy. You know, ball's got to bounce the right way. But it's like NASCAR, right? You know, you got to finish before you can win. Right? It's like watching the Daytona 500. Got to make it to the lead lap. Can't have any bad pit stops. Got to keep your fenders clean. Can't have any crashes, i.e., injury. And Georgia's been that team that's managed to stay on the lead lap, but just hasn't quite gotten that push to get to the checkered flag first.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. Mike, we really appreciate your time. We appreciate your opinions, and good luck to Dog Nation this year, and we'll be watching.
Yeah, we're fortunate. Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Dog Nation, it's great that we put all these resources towards the Georgia coverage, in our company. And it's been a great company to work for. AJC's everywhere. You can go to AJCSports.com. You can go to DogNation.com. And you can check me out on Twitter at MikeGriffith32. And I appreciate all the love from the Louisville market. I love the sports interest that's thriving there. It's fantastic. And, I saw George even scheduled Louisville to a home and home, right?
Yeah. In the future. Yeah.
I somebody's got to break it to the players that, you know, you're not going to get free pizza there. The Papa John's thing, that's out the window now, right?
Yeah.
Now, we like Bear Nose pizza better anyway, Mike.
It's all about Bear Nose? All right. Yeah. Well, I'll know where to go when I come to Louisville. Fantastic city, guys, and thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. Have a great day. Mike Griffin of Dog Nation on the Kim Crawford Wines Celebrity Hotline.
He was great, wasn't he? And not only did I get a kick out of it, you got a kick out of it. Well, a texter texted in from 859 someplace. This guest is fantastic.
Yeah. Now, he didn't hold anything back.
No,
I mean, he let us know exactly what he thought was going on and what was happening. And you know, you have to he made a great point. I mean, some of these guys, I mean, the coach at LSU, they've got a recording of him saying he made the guy a heck of an offer. And he's still the coach there, and they're still out recruiting people? Makes no sense. But, you know, we all know the NCAA. I mean, there's no way that they can police this thing. It's all of this stuff has gone so far past them no wonder teams are cheating and don't care about it. The NCAA can't do anything.
And it's
there's a lot of it, not just the SEC. They may be the most prolific. I don't know. I'm not out there. But there's I saw some stuff when I was at Charlotte from ACC that, you know, it shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And so, but that's just the nature of that beast.
Yeah. I just wished it happened a little earlier so you and I could have participated.
I don't know, man. You were always driving a fancy car. I couldn't get that. I mean, I didn't understand that.
you know we got our scholarship and $15 a month laundry money. Coach Rupp got stung too many times with that cheating stuff. He made sure we stayed clean.
You are missing one thing that we got a bunch of, and before we go to break,
SAG cards.
No, that's a good point. SAG cards, $1. A card.
Yeah.
You go buy shaving cream and toothpaste and things like that. But the other thing, we got a ton of attaboys. Attaboy. You never got anything for winning 3 straight SEC championships, did you? No watches, no rings, no attaboy.
Hey, that and $15 will buy you a beer at the track. Don't forget that.
That's right.
You're exactly right, Process.
Luckily, they had 50-cent exactly beers back right. in the day, right?
Oh, we'll take a break. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, brought to you by Stockton Morgan.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.